Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'll bet you didn't know that I used to be a surfer, and all my friends said, "You're going to be a bum." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm an entrepreneur." Today, broadcasting from Huntington Beach, California, and the 25th anniversary of the Surfing Walk of Fame. We're going to talk to some icons from the surfing world.
Right here is Bob McKnight. He is Quicksilver.
Hello.
So, you know, first of all, tell us the story of Quicksilver. I love this.
Oh, my God. How long do we have?
Yeah, you got 1 minute. Go for it.
Okay, so let's see. I always said love surf, love the beach. Beach culture guy, grew up in Southern California, went to USC, got a degree in business, and I met a guy by the name of Jeff Hackman, very famous surfer, and we decided to do this project together called Quicksilver, making board shorts and selling them out of the back of my car up and down the coast. And it was never ever meant to be anything other than a project until I could go back to graduate school, and for Jeff the same. And then next thing you know, the whole surf culture really took hold in, say, the mid 70s, early 80s. And it just exploded into what we now is modern surf culture, heritage, whatever you want to call it. We were there sort of at ground zero with Quicksilver. And great timing, because as we started our little frail company with board shorts, all we made, surfboard shorts, that the business of surf just exploded because of the great communication of the sport and the culture and the tribe and the beach and all that to the world. Because I've always said that half the world's population lives at or near the beach. The other half can't wait to get there. Everybody loves the beach. So all we had to do was connect great product, connect into the surf shops, stay true to it, and that's where we had the explosion of Quicksilver.
So I think I heard you say you thought this was going to be like a 2-year project.
We did.
What happened? That's 40 years later.
After the second year, it was going pretty good. You know, no, it was really small still, but we were having so much fun, and everybody still loved us. The shorts were selling. We couldn't make enough. And we just thought, well, there's at least a year or two more of this, and I can always go to graduate school. I mean, that can wait.
So your extra 1-year plan kept going for 37 or 8 more years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
And here we are today.
We're talking like $1 billion or more?
$2.5 billion at our biggest.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a
board
big
shorts
machine.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking to entrepreneurs. Advice for entrepreneurs? What would you give? I mean, so many people like you, they have this little short term, we'll give this a try. You know,
So, number one, I would say be really careful and leery of partners. I do a lot of, you know, advice or whatever to young kids come in, and I like to make myself available. I teach a lot of classes at school, SC and UC Irvine and Stanford and all that. But one of the things, the lessons you learn is that partners can be really tough. So choose them carefully. If you're going to start a company, it's best to just go, like, borrow money from your parents or rich uncle or whatever it is. But it's that when you have a partnership, then all of a sudden you're in a dynamic where anything and everything can go wrong, whether it's, you know, dispute over how to run the business. One guy has the money, one guy doesn't. One guy has a mean girlfriend, wife. You know, it's just the dynamic completely changes. I'm always really leery when people tell me about that they're forming a partnership or they have partners. I want to totally vet that with them before they go forward. I just think that's really, I've seen so many partnerships explode, not only in my own world, but in all the surf companies and all the just companies at large. Number two, I would say that there's like good timing. There's no such thing as good time or bad time. And if you have a product that's hot and you know it's different and something unique, get it out to the marketplace. Don't wait to a particular date. Don't wait for the next season. Don't wait for anything. Just get it out, because I think that the best timing of a product is any time that you're ready to go, if it's that spectacular. And the third thing is, I just think that in business, you have to have a sense of humor. I mean, there's the plan that you master out of school, or you master getting ready to do your thing, the game plan with the cash flow and ups and downs and how you're going to do it, how many products, this whole like manifesto you have. And this 1 minute into the game, the whole plan's thrown out the door because everything changes.
So be willing to pivot.
Yeah, you have to be quick on your feet, and you definitely have to have a sense of humor, because I can tell you, the stuff that's happened to me personally and to the company and to all of our employees and all of our assets all around the world on a daily basis is just astounding, where you just go like, oh my God, you can't make this up.
No, true story. All right, if you have a sense of humor, it's time for you and me to get naked. What I want to do is I want you to expose yourself, in essence. What is the worst mistake you've ever made?
buying a company called Rossignol.
Why?
Well, it's a great brand. We bought it in the early 2000s. Still is a great brand. It was bad timing. We hit a really bad snow season in Europe where Rossignol does all its business. It just crushed us, left us a lot of debt that we inherited. And it just made it tough for us for the next 10 years of running our company and paying all this debt off, you know. And it's, but that would be it. And that's probably like the only real big one. We made mistakes all the way along. You always do. But that one was a bone crusher.
Stay tuned. We're talking with Bob McKnight from Quiksilver. Yes, billions of dollars from surfing. Who'd have thunk? We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start.
And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you know, I used to be a surfer, so I really admire these icons of our surfing world. They all love surfing. They all love business. They're all entrepreneurs. We're talking right now with Bob McKnight from Quiksilver, but coming up next, we're going to talk to Fernando Aguirre. He is the founder of Reef Footwear, and then Steve Van Doren from Vans Shoes. And yeah, the Vans U.S. Open of surfing. It's unbelievable. Huntington Beach, California, Surf City, the Surfing Walk of Fame, the 25th anniversary. I'm having a blast. All right, you know how a monkey, you know, can climb through the trees and its tail does extra things. I think entrepreneurs have to have like that extra ability to be agile, right?
Sure.
Was there one moment in your life where you were like extra agile and you thought, I'm gonna just go for it? And what was that?
I would say back in the day when we introduced, very early on, but we introduced this board short print category called Echo Beach. And when the whole market was basically just plain dyed colors and some Hawaiian prints, we came out with this range out of checkerboards, stars, polka dots, harlequins, stripes, and all the colors were just wild, bright, outrageous, but real black and white hard edge color. We got all the ideas from horse jockey outfits. And we just shipped them to our dealers. They had no idea it was coming. And they got these boxes, they're calling me going, what are
what
you doing
hell?
It? What is this? And we go like, hey, just put it on the racks. It's going to sell. And we're like sitting in the warehouse going, oh, my God, please sell.
Right.
And they did. They blew out.
Wow.
And it really, I think, burst our company into a whole other level. Just
that's
that
awesome.
One, like you said, that extra gear we rolled into, which, and we sat around and we basically gambled the whole company on a print range.
That's awesome. All right. How about a word that you just cannot stand out there, whether it be in business, in life, as a cuss word? One of my buddies the other day said disruptive. I can't stand that word anymore. What is there a word out there that is just in your craw lately?
You know, the shock has always been in my craw. Because I just think every time somebody wants to say hi or do anything, they throw a shaka. And it's kind of an inner circle joke with the whole surf fraternity. But
Did you say it's an inner circle jerk?
Yeah.
Or joke.
Exactly.
Oh, I get it. I gotcha.
Yeah, inner circle joke.
Okay.
Throwing a shaka. Hey. But I don't know. Words go through sort of like their era, and then they, like, dude went through a big era,
right.
And cowabunga and some other
hang
stuff.
Loose.
You know, surf the web.
Yeah, right.
All these things got to have their day, and then they go away, thankfully. And if they're really good, they stick. But
yep. I'm personally glad to see that you're still a regular guy. Because at the end of the day,
know.
You know, I mean, so many people they actually get destroyed by the money. They don't know how to be normal workaday Bob anymore.
Yeah, no, I see a lot of people like that. And
it's nice to see.
I'm around a lot of really, high-bred, sort of very successful, very wealthy people. And you can see that in them. Where all they sit around and talk about themselves and brag about all the toys and jets and whatever they have. And I just... God, if that's how you measure your life, then
right.
I feel sorry.
I love that you said, there's my daughter and my son and my, you know, it's like,
That's what it's about right there, you
exactly
know?
Right.
And sadly, we unfortunately really find that out sometimes too late in life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
You know, remember the cats in the cradle and Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I remember hearing that, you and I were about probably the same age, at Cat Stevens, and I remember, I will never be that way.
Oh, I know.
And I became that way for a little while, you know? What are you most proud of?
For sure, my family. I have three wonderful children and a great wife, and we've had a idyllic life. And then obviously Quiksilver. I'm just really proud of what, you know, what became of nothing and then what it became, and how many great employees we've had, all the wonderful friends in the industry, the surf shop guys, the team riders. They're all my buds. I mean, I've made this thing very personal my whole life from the heart, and that's how I've always run the company. And so my family and my company.
What a blessed life, Bob McKnight.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're here at the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing in Huntington Beach, California. Steve Van Doren, ambassador of fun worldwide for Vans. I've been wearing your shoes since high school, and then I found out that I was the cool guy, and people used to make fun of me, but you know what? I loved them. I'm still wearing them to this very day, 40 years later.
Thank you, of course.
So talk about Vans, maybe a little history on it,
sure,
your dad,
sure.
You, yeah. Life.
Yeah, no, I was 10 when my dad started. I've been working at Vans for 52 years.
Wow.
And the nice thing is we started right here in Costa Mesa, right next to Huntington Beach. We're at the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing. For the last 6 years, we've been sponsoring this event. Great surfing, boys, girls, longboard girls are going out this afternoon. Skateboarding, boys and girls. BMX, boys and girls. So we've got all the genders going here. But the nice thing is when we started Vans, we were just a small company. Nobody knew who we were. And we were just trying to get good shoes on people's feet. My dad knew he made the best product in the world. It was made in America for the first 27 years. And we got great factories around the world that are making them today. But the nice thing is our heritage is about music, art, street culture, and action sports.
I remember going to the Vans Warped Tour years ago.
Yeah. It's on its 24th year right now.
Oh, my
now.
Gosh.
Three more stops after today.
Wow.
It's our 24th year, and we're going to have our final finale next year with two stops only.
And then you got inducted today into the Surfing Walk of Fame.
Yes,
what's
I know.
What's going on with that?
What's going on? I'm not sure. All I know is that I got a lot of people, I guess, rooting for me and for Vans, and I'm honored that, you know, got to be inducted along with Bob Knight and some great other people today. And it's a big honor. I got inducted maybe about 5-6 years ago to the Skateboarding Hall of Fame. And today, Surfing Walk of Fame with Jack Surf Shop, with Ron and Bobby up there, and just having a great time.
Let's talk about your family.
Sure.
Your dad started it.
Yep.
You've been doing things for a long time. Your daughter,
yes.
I understand.
Yeah, my daughter's 41. She's been working with me since she was probably 5 years old. She's been out of college for 21 years. She's the senior director of all the events. In fact, this whole event you see out here today, she's in charge of the whole thing.
And entrepreneur.
Yes.
Now, we're going to get into some questions about you being the professor for a little while.
Right.
Because you've got to have learned a lot. You guys are doing, what, a couple billion now?
Yes, I'm going to be over $3.5 billion this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's an honor. It's, again, I grew up with my dad, hard work ethics. My daughter learns the same thing. My sister, Cheryl, is a vice president of our company. And even though my dad started it, we've been there every step of the way. In fact, the last 25 years without him, learning from corporations who acquired Vans from my dad. My whole thing is keeping it the way our family did originally. We care about people. Whole thing about our company and our success. Today you'll see about 220 people with gray shirts on. They're from all over the world. We brought them in this week. Their last day is here today. They're working on the beach. Christy has them in three different areas, rotating around every hour. And we're just showing them the Van Doren way. We're showing them how Vans activates. We're hands-on people. We love helping people. We have games. Everything here is free today. There's nothing cost them anything. They can go into our great retail store and buy product, but they're being well taken care of with great customer service.
When you took over for your dad, Did you have to make any big changes, or did he have the culture already set up?
No, he had the culture, but I had it ingrained myself. Now, over the last 2.5 decades, I had to keep that culture and not let whoever was a president or the new company come in as a corporation ruin anything that we did. And that's what they've let me do, especially VF, our parent company, for the last 14 years. And then we've really grown from being a $300 million company 14 years ago to $3.5 billion by the end of this year. And we do a great job of doing that. Our whole company's all about culture. It's all about people.
How do you know what people want? When you get to that size, yeah. I know you have the classic, these different styles of shoes that you have, but how do you know what is going to turn on that next generation?
And they work 1.5 years in advance. I don't know where their crystal balls are and stuff, but they do a great job. We have people that go around, merchandisers, finding out what color trends are going to be happening. But our 5 styles that we have is our slip-on, our classic era, our classic authentic, our old school, and our skate high. We have half caballeros. Those there are dominating factors, but we're trying now to create different shoes with an ultra range, our ultra light shoes. But don't go too far from that, because we've gotten in trouble before. Stay where it is, but color's everything. As you can see, I'm a very colorful person.
Yeah.
You know, about every 5 years, checkerboard keeps coming back, right. And that's something that we've earned since 1982 with Spicoli and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, yeah.
But keeping focused, keeping strategic, and so we've got our great leaders, our president, Doug Palladini, has a strategic group that works on nothing but strategy. And then we have all kinds of ways that we merchandise our product, but also we stick to our guns with the people that are great wholesale people. But more than half of our business worldwide is through our own van stores.
You said something about the checkerboard. I'm looking out at this line of people out here, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4 pairs. I was wearing a pair of those black and white checkerboard slip-ons one time, and I was in a grocery store buying, you know, my bags of groceries, and this lady says to me, "Thank you." And I went, "Thank you for what?" She goes, "Thank you for wearing those shoes, because you have silver hair, and you just got to stay young." And I was right. Like, I go, "I am young. That's what are you talking about?"
The wall spirit. You
right?
Know?
That's right.
But the one thing is, you can see how we keep checkerboard engaged in our brand, because
yeah.
We are always trying to think young, feel young, and be young.
Give me the biggest mistake you've ever made, or your biggest regret. Do you have something like that? Because I love to always find that nugget of, if I just hadn't done this,
right.
What was that this?
Yes, I've lucked out and don't have really a lot of this. I always have a question in my mind, because I love to cook with people outside.
I do too, I know.
Someday, I'm going to be saying that. I'm going to say,
it's Van's barbecue tour.
I wanted to have a Van's, I want to have a Steve Van Dorn restaurant where I can go in and have
nice.
Fun. If everything I do, my whole life has been 180% with Van, and I travel so much, if I'm in one place, I can really kick ass. All right, because I know I can sell whatever it is. It's going to be the best food, fun. It's going to entertain it, and they're going to be able to come and say, "What am I going to do now? I'm going to go down to Steve's place, have a good time, and get great food." But that might come someday, because I always say people need shoes, they need apparel. You also have to eat.
All right, well, look for the Steve Van Doren Food and Fun House coming to a country or city or state near you, because these guys are worldwide. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really pleasure. Appreciate it.
Right.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
The world sees it rise when I gave the word. Now in the...
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Today here with Fernando Aguri. He is the founder of Reef Footwear.
Yeah, well, I did many things. You know, when you're old, you look back and you do many things. I, with my brother, Reef, 1984. We didn't know anything. It was good. Ignorance is a blessing, they say. We didn't know how hard it was going to be, it worked out.
You made a quote when you were on stage accepting your award today, induction into the Walk of Fame for surfing. You said that something to the effect of that you need to make mistakes in life. It's an important part of life.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, this is good for you guys and for the audience. You know, sometimes we spend so much time on the plan that life goes away. So, you know, the plan, and we say in Argentina, a phrase that is, don't confuse the map with the territory. So it's good that you activate on a plan, that you have a plan, but you know, but it's clay, it's not steel. So for us, and this you're gonna, I don't know if I ever told a public media, my friends know this, we ran the first 13 or 14 years of Reef without a business plan. were running because my brother was in charge of buying the best product at the lowest price, and I was in charge of selling the most product at the highest price. And that was
that it. That was it.
That was it.
Well, that's a perfect plan.
Yeah, but only so you work on building up the medium, no? Right, the EBITDA. Right, right. We didn't know it was called EBITDA. We learned that later.
Right, right.
But in reality, what happened was it allows us to understand every little detail of the company. Of course, at one point, we had to have a business plan because people didn't know what we're doing, what are we supposed to do. And when you hire more people, then you really need a business plan.
Right.
But we ran the first 13 or 14 years basically on sales forecast. And then a whip to be sure that the sales happened.
A whip? Somebody has to crack the whip.
But, you know, it was really good because none of us, we came from Argentina and we came as young adults. So none of us have family here. So our company was...
That was it?
The family.
Right.
So we had an amazing relationship. A lot of them went to own their own companies, to work at top positions in larger companies. So it was a little bit of a crazy Latin American club that at the end of the day you graduated with a better degree in real business. No? And also, you know, we have, like, for example, the 4 feet and wet rule means that if the waves are 4 feet or bigger, you bring your wetsuit. You can arrive an hour later, no questions asked in the morning.
I love it.
And then the other rule is we thought and we believe that learning languages is so important to develop the mind, the personality, your culture, your way of being. And of course, we were bilingual, trilingual, Portuguese, Spanish, and English. But we actually pay for any employee that wanted to take Spanish classes, we pay for the tutoring.
But I heard you got a degree in
law.
In law.
Yeah.
And you didn't know about a business plan. What the heck?
No, because in law...
Or you were just too busy to worry about it.
No,
too busy surfing and making money.
No, I was, you know what? It's like when you know how to climb that mountain, you don't need to make a plan on how to climb the mountain. You just go and
go for
freaking
it.
Climb the mountain.
Right, right.
So this was for us the way. And the other thing is since I was an attorney in Argentina, law school is not like here, 4 years, and then you get your law degree. It's not undergraduate and grad school. It's 6 years of only law. So I have philosophy, economics, psychology, sociology, history. It was really good. So it is, you know, my hope was to be a diplomat, because I believe that wars start when diplomacy fails. So if you got better diplomats, you got better chances at a more peaceful world. And we spend our time doing good things instead of wars. So, but of course, I didn't have the patience to another 2 years after six to become a diplomat. So I became a businessman. I moved to America. I didn't know 24 years ago when I was first elected president of the ISA that my hope to get surfing to Olympic was going to turn me into a diplomat, into surfing diplomat.
Okay, okay, so hold
crazy.
On. All right, so what you guys all need to know is that because of this man, a lot of time and energy, at the Tokyo Olympics in 2020, surfing is going to be in the Olympics.
It's going to be the inaugural Olympic surfing in history. And Yuka Hanamoku, Hawaiian multi-gold medalist swimmer, asked for this in 1920. And it took us almost 100 years to be there. And I was doing an interview to Globo in Brazil an hour after the vote, the positive vote. And he asked me, why 100 years to get a new sport, such a cool sport? 100 years?
Yeah, why?
We were busy surfing. That's what I told him.
We were busy surfing. And I know I had a rough time even making it through high school because I was busy surfing. So it is, it's the free ride, you know?
It's a distraction. I think it's a healthy... Mentally very healthy and
how
physically healthy.
How do you think it's going to change the world, though? I really do, don't you?
I think that
having surfing in the Olympics?
First, if anything, is going to put surfing, the culture, in front of not 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 million people, like a big event might be on a webcast, going to put in front of 2 or 3 or 4 billion people.
Billion, right.
So people that don't understand what surfing is, they will understand. And my vision has always been, I don't want to bring just an Olympic surfing competition. I want to live an Olympic surfing festival that includes the competition, right. But includes environmentalism, includes art, includes
here
yoga.
He is. He's
food,
entrepreneur.
Is,
your entrepreneur is coming out.
Listen,
I love it.
It's a beach festival.
It's
after
a beach
all,
festival.
What do we want? We want a nice
life's
beach party.
A beach.
Yeah. We want a beach party, a good beach party. And I think the beautiful part is that the IOC embraced that completely.
Yeah.
And to the point that in Buenos Aires in October of 2018, this year, there is the Youth Olympic Games, which is the Olympics but for under 18, and the whole thing is a festival. And of course, it's in my birth country place. So we know, you know, we might not be good at running the economy of the country, but we're really good at enjoying life.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're here at the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing in Huntington Beach, California, here with Fernando Aguri. He is the founder of Reef Footwear. With all this, I mean, you have a lot to be proud of, but what are you most proud of today?
Oh, I was very happy, and I was humbled by being, you know, inducted into the Walk of Fame with Steffi Gilmore, which is an amazing champion. I met her when she was like 15. Yeah. She won two ISA back-to-back world
championships.
Beautiful
soul that woman has.
Yes, and then, you know, Mick, which wasn't here, but I also love Mick. And Australia. Of course, having Bob McKnight, which is it's like having George Washington on the surf industry.
Right.
That's what he is. It's really, you know, it's Bob and then all the rest. So, you know, I has always been a mentor, a teacher. I mean, imagine, I arrived with my brother from Brazil from visiting a factory. We designed 5 or 6 ridiculously colorful sandals that nobody would buy. So we know Bob. We go and show the sandals to Bob and to his little...
You've known him all that time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we show him, we get an interview with Bob, we go and sit with him and his sales director and a couple of the leading directors. It was a small company, I think we see. It wasn't a public company, it was a private company still.
Right.
Maybe 5 million in revenue?
We got 2.5 billion.
We got zero in revenue at that time.
Right, right.
We were like 2 Argentinian guys with a bag full of sandals.
tacos, that's it.
We put them on the table, on the corporate table, or the boardroom table, and they look at the sandals and say, you know what? It's a little bit late for us, but I believe they said, I don't think we're going to be able to sell these sandals. I don't know what he said, but you know what he said is that we wanted to sell sandals. It was March. And we wanted to sell those sandals for delivery on that summer. We didn't even have samples or orders.
Right, right.
We were completely reckless. Ignorance is a blessing. And we're totally ignorant. So
is a blessing.
Yeah,
quote. That's a quote.
We were totally ignorant, so totally blessed.
Right.
So we walk out of that meeting. In another case, the guys will walk on the meeting and forget about the business opportunities. Okay, I guess we're going to have to do it ourselves. I went home, and 3 or 4 nights later, I woke up in 4 in the morning, and I hear the waves hitting the reef in Windensea.
Oh, that's where the name came
from. And I
said,
the waves are hitting the reef so hard. There's going to be big waves. And then I said, reef? I better call our attorney. So like at 9 a.m., this is before internet, I called the attorney, do me a scan. And 2 days later, he comes back and says, nobody has registered reef. You can register reef.
Wow. So, and so how big of a company today, Reef?
It's big, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe like, I think like 150 or something like that, 180 million in revenues. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't follow them. You know, the current leadership, I have a lot of respect. You know, not all the leaders have been like this one. This Roger is a smart guy. He's open-minded. He's half Japanese, half American. He respects surfing. My brother, which is like the guys that know most about how to develop and construct a sandal in the world, and anybody in the world is helping them, you know, just, you know, not for money or love, because now there is empathy. So that's what I, when I started my speech, I said, hola. Nobody speaks Spanish, but maybe they do. So hola, and they say hola back to me. I say, that's pretty lame. Hola! And then they get hola. So, you know, suddenly I got their blood pressure going, they got excited, and now it's time to shoot the heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Give them a...
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs, young, old, any age?
Persistence, willingness to work hard beyond what your peers tell you, how hard it is to work. And if you fall, stand up and get back up. Because if you think that the first time that you're going to start something you're going to do well, you still are ignorant about how life is. You know, Reef was like our 10th incarnation, reincarnation of my brother and myself business.
Yeah.
and we did some in Argentina, some here, and eventually that one worked. We didn't even know. I mean, we started Reef, it was sandal, traction systems, bunch of things. We just wanted to. I didn't want to work as an attorney, and my brother only finished high school. So we say,
you see how far people go not to be an attorney? He was an attorney. He didn't want to be an attorney.
No, but you know,
I failed 10 times to get it.
I'm gonna get it sooner or later. I love the good attorneys. You know, like some really good guys have been attorneys, and he's good. But you know, an attorney is like a knife. It could be to cut the meat, or it could be to kill somebody.
That's right.
So I realized that I wanted to go to heaven at the end of the day. So I say, you know, these guys are not going to heaven. So.
I am sorry to all attorneys. None of you are going to heaven, evidently.
Okay, I'm going to make a joke that you're not going to publish, but I'm going to tell you because maybe First Amendment works for you guys.
Okay.
So what's the difference between a sperm and an attorney?
I'm not sure.
The sperm has one chance in a million of becoming a human being. And I'm an attorney. My mom was an attorney. My dad was an attorney. I can make those jokes.
All right. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made? Real quick.
The biggest mistake was we didn't spend enough time in the search for the hiring. So sometimes we hired too fast because we needed more people. We were growing at 30, 40% every year. And the other thing is we didn't spend enough time. Once we brought sometimes good people, we didn't spend enough time teaching them. So suddenly we got like either smart people, but not properly directed. And without a business plan, that was essential that we direct. So no business plan, no direction. And the other thing was when we discovered that thing was not going to work out, we were slow in letting them go and have a conversation. I said, you know what?
Because you love them all. They were your family. That's what you told me, right?
I was crying every time I had to let somebody go because I know how bad it is.
That's being an entrepreneur right there. You got to love what you do and love the people you do it with.
Yes. So for me, that was the hardest time. And I think we make mistakes. But I think, you know, it's like, and the other thing is, it's easy to say, hey, I'm the owner, I'm the boss. Nobody does anything good alone. You always have a team or a partner. In my case, I always have my brother, which were like sparring partners when we were kids. He got me surfing. He, you know, he's an incredible waterman. And we went in business together with different skill set, completely different business skill set. And I think that was the highest achievement, finding a partner that works. And within partnerships, the family partnership is a sub-chapter of partnership. Very difficult because there is other things. There is emotion. There is knowledge. You know, after work, there is still a relationship.
That doesn't kill you makes you stronger, though, right?
Yeah, but sometimes you want to kill the guy. But, you know, but it's your brother, so you're not going to kill him. So unless you're Kane and unable. But for me, that was the highest achievement. I remember when we sold the company, the final sale to VF in 2005, we got a call. We were in Argentina. And we got a call from LA Times, and the guy says that, he asked me, he says, but wouldn't it have been better if you were alone? You were cashing all the cheap shots, you? And I would have worked twice as hard.
That's right.
So find a partner.
You're the best. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. Works, yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So I'm here now with Wing Lam from Wahoo's Fish Tacos. I raced Baja with this guy about 10 years ago. I won! I don't know what happened to him!
He got stranded somewhere. Our car broke somewhere on the course. What are you going to do?
It's all good, but I did have some Wahoo's Fish Tacos. Tell us about the name Wahoo's. Where'd that come from?
Well, it's the actual fish.
Okay.
And in Hawaii, otherwise known as Ono. And my brother and I were all talking about it, and my kid brother Mingo said, hey, Ono, people on the mainland may go, oh no.
It's like Nova, and Nova car means no go.
Exactly.
Woo!
Same thing. So
that was a good fix, by the way.
Exactly. So then he said, why not call it Wahoo's? And that's what we were doing.
All right, tell us about Wing.
Well, I'm here, you know, at the U.S. Open, you know, the three of us
started, see
a crowd right here. But, you know, we're partners in crime with all pretty much anything that happens in the action sports industry. This summer alone, we've done the Dude Tour, the X Games, and now we're here at the U.S. Open.
So the U.S. Open of surfing, that's a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, it is huge. It's probably the biggest surf event in the world.
And what do you think about the 2020 Tokyo Olympics now having surfing? That's a big deal, too.
Oh, my God.
It's a game changer, right?
Yes. It's going to basically take surfing to a whole nother level because you're going to have billions and billions of people watching it that otherwise would have never seen it.
And then coming back to the entrepreneur in you, when you first started up Wahoo's Fish Tacos, yeah. Did you have like a business plan? Did you go to school? Were you one of those guys, like a bunch of these other guys, like me, like everybody else that's an entrepreneur that just goes, hey, fish tacos, money, pa-ching, you know, and you just started.
We just want to have a place to hang out and go to work afterward.
Right.
And basically do a little surfing. And who knew that we're going to end up with all these stores all these years later?
And then where did it start?
Right up here, the hill, up here in Costa Mesa. We're back then. Billabong was across the street. Quicksilver was right down the block. A few of the other brands right there. And we figure, hey, if you want surfers to come, you got to build it where they're at.
And then franchising, how big of a franchise do you have now?
We got about 30 stores that were franchised, about 30 that are corporate, so about 50-50.
Yeah, and are you keeping it down? Are you making sure? Because, I mean, company culture and, you know, you see some of these that they lose themselves when they have hundreds or thousands of stores. And I think people agree with me as you hear in the background. You know, small is good.
Yeah. Actually, it's not about small or big. It's about make sure that the quality is being delivered across the board.
Wing Lam. Entrepreneurs are always looking for advice, and you've been here, you've done this, you've been successful, you're a Baja Racing Wild surfing man and a father now.
Yes.
Advice for entrepreneurs.
Well, these days it's not about just having a great idea. These days with social media and what they call social media influencers, it's about having people that can tell the story on steroids, because you don't have enough time to do it yourself. So the more, you know, social media influencers you can have out there working on your behalf, that's the way to do it today.
Fantastic. Wing Lam, Wahoo's Fish Tacos. Delish! Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Wing. That's Wing Lam, Wahoo's Fish Tacos. I raced with the Baja 500 with that guy like 10 years ago. He looks exactly the same. Anyway, well, don't you worry. We're going to do some racing there. I loved being here. I want to thank Rick Brown for bringing me out to the 25th anniversary of the Surfing Walk of Fame. The inductees, also the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing, the largest surfing event in the world. 8 days, 1 million people? Crazy stuff. And think about it. You know, what's that guy's name? Fernando Aguirre, founder of Reef Footwear. He spent his own money, his own time and energy getting surfing into the Olympics. So yes, if you didn't hear that segment, 2020 in Tokyo, the Tokyo Olympics, for the first time since, I don't know, like 1920, they started trying to get surfing into the Olympics. It took 100 years, but Fernando got it done. So thank you, Fernando, for all us surfers out there. He's the founder of Reef Footwear. Meeting these guys, meeting, you know, Steve Van Doren and his father, who's like 93 years old, started the company in the early 60s. I've been wearing Vans shoes, I think 45 years of my life. I have Vans in my closet right now. I'm wearing thongs right now, but that would probably have to be Reef, you know. But anyway, these are my icons. These are people that I grew up wearing the board shorts from Quicksilver and the T-shirts and the, you know, the Vans shoes and eating Wahoo's Fish Tacos. That's the surfing, kind of the whole surfing culture. Anyway, again, big thanks to Rick Brown for bringing me out. All the folks at the 25th anniversary of the Surfing Walk of Fame. You guys get out to Huntington Beach and check out that town. It is Surf City, they call it. Huntington Beach, California, beautiful. I had a blast, man. I had an absolute blast. I hope you did too. Learning a little bit of the secret sauce of the success of a bunch of surfers doing billions and billions of dollars. All right, that's about it for this episode of Entrepreneur Weekly. It just shows that if you follow your passions, you too can do billions of dollars with something like, you know, board shorts, shoes, surf shoes, you know, whatever it might be. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.